Chof Dalet Adar Aleph, Friday the 1st of March, Rabbi Yehuda Yoni Rubenstein. Is there a mitzvah to be always happy?
The genesis of this shiur was that somebody sent me. The genesis of the shiur was that somebody sent me a little video clip attached to an email, and in it there was some sort of chasna, and there was a chassidish fellow, and he was dancing like crazy behind the musicians. I don't think the musicians were terribly pleased, but he was dancing up and down, and he just put at the end of it, "Oh, mitzvah gadol yes mitzvah katamid." And it just hits me. I mean, we've all heard that, but it hits me. Where did that come from? Oh, is there a mitzvah gadol yes mitzvah katamid? I asked this nashir in New York. I said, "Where did this come from?" And one of my talmidim said, "It's a song." So, obviously, it's a song. So wonder where halacha comes from. It comes from a song. It started me thinking. Somebody wrote to me when I was discussing this and mentioned this in Shirim across New York, and he said, "Oh, there's a posuk in the Toichacha which says that we're suffering everything that's Rahman and Islam. We're suffering because we didn't serve Hashem b'simcha b'tuv levov." So you should be. But of course, Rabbi, so what am I asking here is a mitzvah. A mitzvah has a definition. A mitzvah has a definition. It's one of the tariyag mitzvahs. Which one is this? Is ayin zayin? Is ayin vav? Is it kof gimel? Which one is to be b'simcha tomid? So I wanted to challenge him. And so I looked, where is the, when the Gemara discusses, and this is tremendously important, I was looking at my chavrusa in we're learning Pirkei Avos, and in Peri Gimel there, in Yud Aleph, it talks about how very careful a darshan has to be when you're giving a drasha. You could give a drasha, you could point to a pasuk, you could say something which is true from a Torah Shkofa, and pin it in the wrong pasuk, and it says you've got no oil above for such a thing. You've got to be careful what you say. Where did, so that indeed, the Pasuk does say this. However, when the Gemara in Erechim, in Yud Aleph and Aleph, talks about this, it says an incredibly interesting thing. The Gemara there is debating whether or not there is a problem if the korbanos are offered in the Beis HaMikdash without the accompaniment of the music of the Levim. Interesting shaila. Is it a proper korban if there was no music, no Levim singing? So there's a back and forth there. And then the Gemara asks the following question: how do we know that there has to be music in the Beis HaMikdash anyway? So the Gemara points to this pasuk, Simcha B'tuv Levav, and then it goes, maybe that pasuk is referring to Limud Torah. No, the Gemara rejects that. Maybe it's talking about the Bechorim. No, the Gemara, the Baskana, the Gemara is this pasuk is talking about establishing the singing of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. Not that you, ordinary Jews have to be the Simcha Tomid. That would be extremely difficult. And why is it extremely difficult? Because the statement is, it's a mitzvah. Rabbi Avraham Gurevitch Shlita in Gateshead, many years ago, he showed me, there was a sefer called Chut HaMeshulash, which I gave away half of my sforim when I moved to the United States of America, which is a very nice thing to do. Normally your sforim are only distributed after you've moved further afield. So it was really very nice to be able to give them away. And anyway, I gave that away. It was the Chasam Sofer, Ksav Sofer, and one of the other of the great Sofer family. And in it, the Chasam Sofer discusses why he was a misnagid. Now, when you look at portraits of the Chasam Sofer, you know, he's a Hungarian Yid, and he's wearing a furry hat, and you think, he must have been a chosid. He was not, he was a misnagid. And he wrote, why is a misnagid? And he said the following thing: there is a Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch applies to everybody equally. There is no Shulchan Aruch for Chumras. That's very important. There's no Shulchan Aruch for Chumras. Now what that means is quite simply as this. And incidentally, of course, this Mitzvah Gadol Yes B'Simcha Tomid is actually not a song. Well, it's been made into a song. It's a maimer of Reb Nachman in Likuti Maran in Kof Dalet. And it's a very interesting moment. But I would like to say that perhaps if you look there, you will see But if you look carefully at the words, ze lo poshut. And Reb Nachman says something very interesting elsewhere, and I haven't been able to find the makor from this, but I've certainly seen it in the past. There was a story of a chosid who came to see Reb Nachman, and Reb Nachman was certainly a very holy yid. So the chosid came to see him to ask the following question. He had no job, and somebody had offered him an occupation, offered him a job. The shaila was, should he take the job? So he said to Reb Nachman, should I take the job? So Reb Nachman listened, he said, yes, I think you should take the job. The chosid went away, but something distressed or disturbed the chosid. So he came back to Rebbe, I know I already asked you this, but should I take the job? I said, I told you, of course you should take the job. He came back a third time, said, Rebbe, emes la'amitoi, emes la'amitoi, should I take the job? Reb Nachman looked at him and said, emes la'amitoi? Of course you shouldn't take the job. Of course you shouldn't take the job. And what's Reb Nachman saying? Nachman's to say that there are madrigas where, as we say in Benshin, put your hand up here if you disbelieve that, nobody will. And the Gemara, and the Mishnah says famously that somebody who has only enough food for one day and worries about the next day, is a person of little faith. I have to tell you, I was invited a number of years ago to give a keynote address to the annual convention of Agudas Yisrael in America. And they don't just bring any old rabbi to speak this type of day. I was introduced by Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shlita, beforehand. We'd never met before, and who I was, where I came from. Mentioned Gates of Yeshiva, it was all right. It was Friday night. There was if I remember rightly, 2,000 people. Huge auditorium. Impossible to fill, you know, the space with volume unless you shouted your head off. And I said, I think it would be fair, after giving my thanks, etc., I think it would be fair to lay claim that I'm making history by addressing Agudas Yisrael here tonight. The people are looking around. I said, because I think I am the first Scottish rabbi to address this august gathering. So I said, and I'm also the first apikaris. Reb Shmuel was looking. I introduced him. Because I quoted this Mishnah. If you worry about the next day, if you had enough money in the world, in your pocket, for enough food for one day, and you worried about the next day, no moon at all. Always nothing, command nothing. I'm an apikaris. It was interesting to notice the number of apikaris in them, and nodding their head. But what we're talking about, what the Chasam Sefer is talking about here, and what I think Reb Nachman would be talking about as well, is there are madrigas. I'm not arguing for one second that it's impossible not to be Besimchat Tomid. But of course, and Nochem Ish Gamzu was called Nochem Ish Gamzu, as we all remember from the Gemara, because whatever happened in his life, he said, Gamzu Matoiva. Well, no matter how bad the news was, but I came up with a chiddush when I was looking at this a number of years ago, and I found that it's subsequently Rabbi Dessler. Even though Nochem Ish Gamzu said Gamzu Latoivo, he still, if somebody told him that his grandmother had just been run down by a chariot or whatever and killed, Gamzu Latoivo, but he still had to make the bracha Baruch Dayan Emes. That means to say here. Then of course Gamzu Latoivo, but here, in my heart, as a mensch, as a human being, it hurts. So he has to say Baruch Dayan Emes. These are madrigas, Rabbi. But once you say it is a mitzvah, then you've changed the ballpark, as they say, completely altogether. Why? It's a bit like in Kaddish Hamorim, Rechon Abbasin's first Maimer, when he asked the question from the Rambam, if is the fact that you have to be a Maimon and Hashem Yisborach, that means a 12-year-old girl at Bas Mitzvah and a 13-year-old boy at his bar mitzvah has to achieve that madriga because it's a mitzvah, and a madriga which escaped the great Aristotle, who the same Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim, apart from those who wrote a Kodesh and Nevi'ahs, failed. Nobody reached an intellectual level at Aristotle who failed to believe in the Shem. How can you expect a 12-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy to supersede that? That would be for a different discussion. But the point is, by saying it's a mitzvah, that you're tying a 12-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy and obligating them to be Mamina Kol Hayyan. He's got a wonderful answer to this. In our discussion, that means if it's a mitzvah, wherever it's going to be, in the Tur Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam, in Milchus Kinuch, whichever mitzvah is, that means to say that by definition, if you don't do it, you fail. And the Rambam, we all know in Hilchus Tshuva, there are various madrigas for what happens if you fail in doing mitzvahs. Perik Aleph Halacha Dalet, if I remember correctly, the Rambam says, we all know that somebody fails to do a mitzvah assay, then the responsibility is for you to immediately regret this, and the So you didn't put on tefillin. Mrs. Zay, you didn't put on tefillin, therefore, fine, you regret it. Tshuva straight away, the sin is wiped clean. What if it was an Aloysa Zay? You ate a pork sandwich for one and slime. Then, well, you've got to have tshuva, but you need another. It's like a stain in a garment. You have to put it in for a second wash to get that stain out. The second wash is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur in and of itself, separate from tshuva. You need tshuva, but you need Yom Kippur as well to wipe it away. Oh, it says the Rambam. I'm assuming that the loisa say is something that doesn't involve a Mrs. Beis Din. Then, of course, that's a different thing. So if you didn't get Mrs. Beis Din, then the only way it's going to help you to do tshuva is tshuva plus Yom Kippur and suffering that happens to you during your lifetime. And of course, says the Rambam, that means there was no Chilul Hashem involved. If it was Chilul Hashem involved, then you need tshuva, and you need Yom Kippur. Then a good dose of serious illness during your lifetime. And then, the real high spot, death. Right? So when you die, then Mises a Kippur. So where is it here? So you didn't do the assay. Does that mean to say that somebody who's just Khalilah the Khalilah? Thank you so very much. I like him, Sean. Somebody who's just lost a child, you would say to him, you've got to be B'Sim Katomi. You'd be over an assay. He's sitting at the Shiva breaking his heart because his little boy's just passed away, his little girl just passed away. And you know, hey, what? You're being over an assay. I've got to tell you this. I mean, anybody would say such a thing in a Shiva. We all know the halacha. You don't say anything at a Shiva until the person speaks to you because the distress that saying the wrong thing could be devastating to somebody. So is there a mitzvah? In the Rambam, sorry, in Bamidbar, rather. In Bamidbar, Kof Aleph, I think I once shared this thought with you. There, in Posik Dalet, Kof Aleph and Dalet, Klal Yisrael, it says, V'yisim Mehor Ahor. So Klal Yisrael had just come. We just lost Miriam, we just lost Aaron Kohn, not too long before. They come to, after a fruition of a 40-year journey, they come to the border of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, their whole lifetime is to get into Eretz Yisrael. And the quick way through is through Edom. And you remember, Edom comes up with these armies, says, oh no, you guys, you come through my land, it is war. V'yisu mihor ahor derech yamsuf. So Hashem says to Moshe, no, turn around. They turn back. They go back the way they were coming. Lisoy this Eretz Edom, to circumnavigate the land of Edom. V'titzar nefesh ha'om b'derech. V'titzar nefesh ha'om b'derech. Interesting. Titzar, Loshen Kitzar, is to reduce, to shrink, to depress. And Rashi says there an absolute astonishing thing. What does it mean, Titzar Nefesh? Ka'odam shetarach bo'alo. But things happen to you in your life. Ve'en data rechov l'kabel oisadover. And your mind is not wide enough, broad enough, to bear the pain that you're going through. Ve'en loy mokim b'tzaych liboy. There's no place in your heart, lagur oisa hatzar, to accommodate the tzar that you're experiencing. Then, he says, that's called titzar nefesh. In other words, Klal Yisrael became depressed. It's possible for a person to go through things where the idea of being besimcha tomid is an absolute nonsense. Rabbi Dessler, in Michta Milion, Chelik Heim, page 126, he says here an absolutely astonishing thing, and I'm almost sure I've told you this. This is a continuation of a theme that comes up a lot in Mitzvah video about a person doesn't stop, a mensch like a mensch. A person doesn't stop being a mensch. Hein Adam Nimlat Mimrashome Haguf is the name of the chapter here. He brings here a story about one of his B'nei Chabura, four distinct Tukufas in Rabbi Dessler's life, so I'm not sure whether this is in Russia. Then when he came to London, when he went to Gates, said, oh, where is Ponovich? He doesn't say what. But the way he writes the story, one of his chabura waited a very long time to have a child. And we all know the greatest simcha, of course, in any of our lives is when we become a father for the first time. It's unbelievable. But if you've ever known anybody who struggled for a long time to have a child, when that child arrives, then, well, kal v'chomer, the simcha is unbelievable. So he writes that one of his chabura had a child, and he loved the boy like he loved his own life. And yet sometimes a strange thought would come into his mind. Kill him. Kill him. Listen to this. For a split second, this not says some b'moicha hamokshav who writes in the heart. A crazy thought came into his mind that he wanted to kill him. And he immediately blanked it out as though it never happened. Because how could you possibly understand such an insanity? So he obviously came to Rabbi Bester to ask him, and Rabbi Bester said, I suspect your little baby boy that you love so much sometimes wakes you up in the middle of the night. You remember they do that. Remember that. Or disturbs your other plans in other ways. Your mida of anoichi. And think of the most common words in the vocabulary of a little child. I, me, my, mine. Yes? Anoichi, and hopefully as we move through life, we distribute those words. Instead of I, we make it we. Instead of I, it's us, etc. Then, ours, we make it a plural instead of a singular, but some people don't. But anoichi is the whole work of a Jew's life, too. Me mai, me anoichi. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was the most successful of that, you know, who am I, etc. And his face shines as a consequence, closest to Hashem, by being the battle is anoichi, is me. So he says, it disturbs you in many ways, that your mida of anoichi, shalot tukna b'shosha ba'amki alev, which you've not repaired at the deepest levels of your subconscious being. Also, shalot plays its part, and mitzad midas ha'gaiva, and from the point of view of the mida of gaiva that we all possess, misha mafri ali, anybody gets in my way, in lois chuski, doesn't deserve to live. Strong lush. Even though that incredible, crazy thought is a huge contradiction to the profound love he felt towards his son. Listen to this. In every single one of us, there is, in all of our beings, there's plenty of space for many contradictions. He then goes on to say something very interesting. Everybody knows that when, he says, if you understand that as a key, then he says, you understand very clearly when Hashem says to Avram, Sarah is going to have a baby, she's 90 years of age. Sarah overhears this, we all know the story, and she laughs. Hashem says to Avram, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah says, what? I didn't laugh. She denies it. Now this is Hashem's Barak speaking. And Sarah, meaning it denies it. Sarah is a greater Neviah, that means a greater Madriga than Avram Avinu. And if you were to say to you or I, Hashem could do a miracle and make a 19-year-old woman have a baby, would anybody here sort of like say, really? I mean, the fact she had a baby might be a really, but not Hashem can make it happen. So why did she laugh? And Rabbi Dessler says that when Hashem said to her, you laughed, and she denied it because she didn't know she laughed. She laughed inside. At the deepest recesses of her being, there was a bit of her that still found the idea a bit silly. And that is saying, no, you did laugh. There's still more for you to work in yourself. At the highest madrigas, people are working incredibly at darkest thing. Rubinstein is working at a very basic level, I'm afraid, Rabbi Sai. But at the very highest, who can... Now, imagine I have a Talmud who just ran the New York Marathon. 26 and a quarter miles. And when he ran the New York Marathon, I had a little party afterwards, so I went round with my wife, and he got a medal, and he got a hat. So I put this on, and I took a picture, and I sent it to some people, right? And I said, wow! How old are you? And you ran the New York Marathon? That's quite good. But I want you to imagine that I decide that I, like my 26-year-old Talmud, I was going to do the New York Marathon, and it's, you know, it happens next week. If I try to do that, what is likely to happen to me? Well, you can guess, right? What is likely to happen to somebody who wants to spiritually keep up with an athlete, a spiritual marathon runner, a Belzarebi, a Divri Yoel, a Chofetz Chaim, the Vilna Gaon, as you know, who never slept to the bed, he just put his head in his shoulder, slept for half an hour, watched his hand and carried on learning. There was somebody who came along and was doing the same thing, and the Gaon said, I know my koichas and I can do this. You can't. You must stop. He didn't, and he died. It was too much. So, if you were to say that this is a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to be besimcha tomid, I agree it's hashkofa and chassidus. I translated the Shara B'Tochen and the Chumash L'Vavah, so I can certainly tell you that from a Musa point of view, that if you have such a close madriga, such a close high madriga, and such a close relationship with the Shem, then Taki, you could be B'Simcha Tomid. But that's a shkofen. To turn it into a mitzvah is to tell everybody you're guaranteed to fail. There is no mitzvah. It's not one of the Tariag mitzvahs. You can say it's a gedra of a mitzvah, it's a shkof of a mitzvah. But you can't say it's a mitzvah. But is there a way to be Simcha Tomid? The Vilna Gaon, in his Seder, which I don't think I brought, in Hoidu we say, Yismecho Hashemayim B'Sogel Ha'orefs. Yismecho Hashemayim B'Sogel Ha'orefs. Now, everybody knows in Lashon HaKodesh there's no such thing as a synonym. Different words. Lots of words we have in Lashon HaKodesh for joy and happiness. Gila, Rina, Ditzel, Keva, Simcha, etc. What is Simcha and what is Rina? Yismecho Hashemayim?
Gila.
Gila. And what is Sogel Ha'orefs? What's Gila? So the Vilna Gaon says a very interesting thing. The Vilna Gaon says that Simcha, if we go back to the moshel I gave you before, that we were talking about having a child for the first time, there can be no greater Simcha. What about when you have a second child? He says, the word Simcha applies to a joyous occasion which is new. Something which is new. And Gila and Rina, these sorts of words, apply to aspects of something which is already there. Yismecho Hashemayim, the Sogel Ha'orefs, Gila is, so that's the pleasure, the nakas you get from your son and your daughter once they're already there. You love them, you get nakas, great. But it can never compare to the Simcha of something which is mamish chodesh. So Simcha is the ultimate because it's new. If you're looking for Simcha in your life, newness, it has to be something which is new. So, Chiddush equals Simcha. There's a sefer, of Rabbi Cheskel Levinstein, Ori Cheskel, in Emuna and Reish Hei. He puzzles there over the concept that you're supposed to, of course, we all know, in Shema, you're supposed to look upon every single day as though it's a new day. Your Kabbalah Sotar is supposed to be a daily event. You're supposed to feel that. Also, the Mishnah says, we incorporate it into our Agada, that Chayav Odom Niras is asked about Ke'ilu Hu Yosef at the Shrine. And it doesn't say it at the Seder. Again, it's a perpetual thing. You're supposed to see yourself as though you're going out from its Shrine. And if you look, it's very interesting, the Lashon there, he's got a page or two about it. Because Levinstein says, I found it so difficult to do. And particularly, I find it very difficult to deal with this idea of getting so excited about it. He says, I've tried to do this. I've looked at Midrashim that I've never seen before. He says, but Hergel, having something that, we're used to it. It's a bit like, you get a vaccination, which apparently is a controversial thing to say. But people get a vaccination, what do? Measles or whatever it is, smallpox. They take the dead bacteria, they inject it into your body. Your body recognizes and therefore creates the antibodies to defeat that when it comes across the real live virus or bacteria later on, without having got you because it's dead. That's the idea. He says, Hergel, he said, says Rekhazgal Levinstein, has absolutely robbed me because as a little kid, we're all told these stories, and it's, as it were, it inoculates you against Chiddush. It's an interesting Hashkofa. So he says, the only way, he goes into this in great length, the only way I could think of to defeat this is if a person was able to somehow or other wipe the slate clean, just like press the erase button. And remember cassette recorders? Do you remember those things? Or, delete the file. You can somehow delete everything you've ever learned. I mean, tease this rhyme as a kid. Then when you're learning it now, you go, wow, that's great. Rabbi Dessler in Chel David of Amitim Adion, page 24, he deals with the same question. And he tackles it slightly differently. And, if you can find this. To bring the right sefer. Don't go away. That would be probably a good idea. Rabbi Dessler says, struggling with this issue, his solution is almost the same, but not quite. And he says, the Kriya Shema Ksiva says, It's got to be in your day. It's got to be a new, it's like new every day. How do you achieve such a thing? I'm jumping the page. How could you get Jakarim Paman Bekalyam? Then we say all the time, new. Chadosha. Hatshuva hi, be'iyun. It has to be you go deep. It has to be that your learning takes you to a place where you go, wow! And I find that all the time when I'm learning. You must do that yourself. If you find, you know, you got a geschmack at that Torah, you can hardly wait. And Baruch Hashem, I'm blessed I get to say shirim to people. So when I find something that really gets me excited, and I have to tell you the most fabulous sentence I know, exciting sentence I know in the English language is simply, I don't know. When people ask me a question and I don't know, it's an invitation to know. You go and you look at me, give me wow, and it's what? Then you're excited. It's got to be, he says, be'iyun. Ki ein iyun b'li chidush. Because if you go deep, you're going to find stuff you've never found before. They call chidush ma'ara halei v'shoba haregel. And every chidush that breaks hergel. So I said hergel. Hergel. But b'zeh yesh lahavim b'maymar asoga b'fi ha'achroinim. Kut shabrichu l'chod b'pipol d'araisa. The Rav Hashem gets nachas out of those who are mispalpel, who go deeply into the Torah. Because from that comes chidush, and chidush comes in from simcha. Hari he told us me l'chsarin. And there is simcha, he says, it comes when you find something new, that would solve the problem. So if we were learning to such a degree, that our learning taka was, wow, gewaldig, then that would be the simcha tomi, wouldn't it? Simcha equals chidush. If you're going into it deeply, you're finding chidush, and that would be fantastic. In Chedek Dalet, page 218, of course, he was a Talmud of Kelm, and he quotes from Simcha's son, the author from Kelm, who I seem to remember was his grandfather. Anyway, Margola b'pimid ha'Rav Simcha Zissel Zal. It was always on the tongue and lips of Rav Simcha Zissel. Archi al limid yaskim tamad ich chashavti koydim shalmadet he says. He always used to say, I always used to challenge myself, how did I see things before I learned this? And now, oman iskadishli atam, oman iskadishli. And what's new? What chidish do I find? Now, and if not, and I've not gone deep, and there will be no simcha. But if your learning is boom, wow, then you'll be simcha tomi. I think it would be reasonable to say, therefore, I mean, we're not in the madriga of simcha zissel. And again, let's not try and set the bar too high so that we're setting ourselves up for failure. But I think it'd be a reasonable question to say, what chidish did I learn this week? What new thing did I learn this week? And it could be in different chassidus, or in Gemara, halacha, or Musar, or even things that happen to you in your life. Because hergel sort of takes it away. Toaster. 2 minutes. We have a house in Lakewood. We bought it about 10 years ago, and we have a young couple living there. We phoned up my wife, it's really her house, and she was dealing with the fact that there was a leak from the upstairs toilet, which had come down and stained the ceiling. So we obviously want to do the right thing, both from the structural point of view of the house and also for our tenants. So my wife got hold of one of these free newspapers from Lakewood, found a handyman, in he went, and he looked at this, and he said it would cost $420 to fix, which sounded a little bit more, but you know, we were far away, let's get it done. And in he went. The first day, fine. The second day, in he comes to repair finish the work, and handed the young lady who lives in the house, who's been married for just over a year and is 6 months pregnant, what they say euphemistically is a love letter. Are you with me? She opens this. Love letter is a euphemism. It was a disgusting letter, proposing this, an adultery. With all sorts of phrases like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And she drops this, rushes out to the neighbor, phones her husband, he comes rushing back, confronts the fellow, and he phones the police. The police say, pass the phone to him, get out of the house, and if you come back, we'll arrest you. Then he phones my wife to say there'd been an incident and a misunderstanding. He'd been taking pictures. He loves taking pictures. He was just taking pictures on the wall because he likes pictures. Their wedding picture. He's taking pictures on the wall and he got very upset and he asked me to leave the check. So she got the real story of the guy. And he phones next day because he wants his $420 having finished the work. And I said, well, that was for finishing the work. You weren't able to finish the work. So we'll have to get somebody else in to finish the work, and then, you know, then we'll see you. And I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make sure I don't get the money. Well, okay, I'm going to sue you in court. I was sued in court. Small claims court. I've never been sued in my life before. And I thought it's going to be nonsense. But Taki sued us. What he didn't know was that they had a security system inside the house which had a video camera inside it. And there was a video of him going up, not just taking pictures of this young lady, but kissing the picture of the young lady. I mean, this is a very sad and sick person, but a very dangerous person. So we went to the court. It's a small claims court, not a big deal. There's a judge sitting there who's very sweet.
You don't go to court. You don't go to court.
You go if you're taken. You don't take somebody to Gosha Court. Tell him. I'm the good guy. So we had to go to the Gosha Court. You're quite right. My wife said, we'll go to a Basti. Anyway, so we turned up there. And what happens is the judge says, right, you're going to go, there's arbitrators. You go up to the arbitrator and you sit. And if he can find a nice Peshawar, Givaldi, Shalom Yisrael. If not, then it goes to trial. You come back in and he listens. Fine. So you go into the room, the arbitrators get the dean of a dayan. You don't speak, he tells you what to say, so he says to the guy, what's your side of the story? Well, I'm a tzaddik gomer, and everybody loves me, and I do great work, and people ask me from all over the country to come and do their apartments, and I went in there, and she's not paying me the $420, and there was a misunderstanding, because I like to take pictures, but people put pictures on social media. Anyway, I was sitting there with my pen just twiddling and just waiting, this is my turn. And eventually, so, you know, so she's horrible, that's my wife. And then he said, what's your side? I said, well, Your Honor, there is no doubt whatsoever that we contracted this fellow to do that work. However, this is a raw and barefaced attempt to deceive and lie to the court. He did not leave because he was asked to leave by the tenant. He was told to leave by the police. I have his statement here. I would like to read the statement to you. So, and this, the guy's like, boop, 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 boop. And then I finished that. And I said, what Mr. Ployney doesn't know is, there was a video of him in the house. I would like to show this to the arbitrator so he could see it. Anyway, so I put my iPad there. And there it was, sneaking. You know, he said, he seems to look sneaking. He knows he's doing something wrong. And then, get them. And whoosh. And he said, if you'd wait outside to me and my wife. And then he's a little misadrush to give the guy. He dropped the case. Ta-da! So there you are. I've been sued. And it all fell to bits. Albert Raboisai. Do you remember that story about everything we do, everything we say? There's a Pirkei Avos, you know, there's a hand writing it down in Shemaim. I have to tell you, this for me was a chiddush. When I saw with my own eyes this guy sitting there, when he saw the video of him doing all this mias stuff, and his fit, you know, oh, I'm such a tzaddik and everybody loves it, it was like, poof, splat. And then, so driving back, I said to my wife, what musa drasha did you take from what happened to us? I mean, everything happened. What do you think that happened for? She said, well, the Rav Shom decides so much money people are going to have. And I took from it was the fact that one day there's going to be my video, which we know, and I knew that before, right, because we update it, not just handwriting it down, but of course there's a film. But when I saw his face, I saw my face. I go, wow, that really brought, wow, Gewaltig! Then it's Kiddush. Then the hair girl, the old little story falls away. I tuck it, and I've been seeing this sheer, that little story in the sheer, not the sheer, this story for the last 2 weeks, I'm so... Because it brought to life something, bashed away the hair girl, and made me feel of simcha. And after all, we shouldn't even have our Marvin Missile.
Thank you.
I don't know where he is.
Go. Let's give him a look. Did you hear through this podcast?